are in full-blown Christmas season. Anybody else love Christmas? I love Christmas. I love decorating for Christmas, and it's one of my favorite times of year. And some of you guys, that may not be your favorite time. So if you're driving past me, I'm the one that has the Christmas music blaring, and I'm singing at the top of my lungs, and you're like, wow, that guy. That's me, but that's okay because I love Christmas. And the reason I love Christmas is because what we're entering into is called the Advent season. And the Advent season is that hopeful expectation, kind of that longing for what is to come. And we all know what is to come is Jesus, God with us. And that's an incredible thing to think about. And so over the next few weeks, that's kind of where we're going. We're heading into that in this expectation of what God is doing. And if you're joining us for the first time in the room or maybe online, one, we are so glad you're here. We have a connect card in the seats. If you'd like to stay connected with us, you can simply fill that out and we'll help you get connected as well. But we're in a series. We are studying through the book of Daniel. And this is a power-packed, eye-opening book. And Daniel 1 through 6 really follows these four Hebrew boys who have been taken into Babylonian captivity. And this prophet Daniel wrote down this journey, wrote down all how they stood faithfully, even though the world around them did not follow God. In fact, were a little hostile towards their Jewish customs, and they continue to stay faithful through all of that. We see that they weren't willing to break their covenant law with their food, right? And so they stood and said, we're only going to eat this. And we're praying and believing that God's going to help. We're going to be healthier. We're going to look better. All of those things. And we see God answer their prayer through that. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some fancy names there, how they were in the fiery furnace, how they stood for God and would not worship the emperor and the statue that he set up. And then in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he was betrayed by the people around him. But we pick up something that we're going to see here where Daniel remained faithful through all of that time. And the funny thing is, the first six chapters we see follow that story. And then in chapter 7, the story shifts and it moves into this prophecy of Daniel getting these revelations, these dreams about the future, about what is to come with the empires, but also he gives us a picture of what the end of times are going to look like. And so if you missed that message, I preached a little bit on the Antichrist, what that looks like, what Daniel saw, what some of those images meant. That was last week. And then today in Daniel chapter 9, we see Daniel where he begins to pray. There's something about his prayer that stands out. And so we're going to read through Daniel chapter 9, and then we're going to pick out four principles from Daniel's prayer that we can still use today. And then next week, we're going to finish up Daniel with Daniel chapter 10 through 12, kind of that end of times prophecy. But I love Daniel 10 through 12 because it's a beautiful picture of the church and how he prophesies how the church is going to be. And so next week is going to be really great. We end that, and they're going to flow right into the Christmas season. Everybody still good? Very good. And so I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts during this time. But we're in Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 1 through 23. I may stop there, but if you want to go ahead and find that in your Bibles, we'll have it on the screens for you as well. But Daniel chapter 9, 1 through 23. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. God, we just are coming thankful, coming off a week with maybe spending time. Maybe it was just alone with you, God. Or maybe it was time with our families. And we're just thankful that we had that time this week to reflect on the beauty, the hardships of life, but also, God, that you remained faithful through it all. And God, we're just praying during this time and during this particular message and this particular day, God, I pray that you will open our hearts to what prayer is and how it enriches our life and how you've given that to us as a gift, God. And I pray that we will lean into it. I pray that this would stir something in us to draw near to you, God, to have the revelation that you have brought yourself near to us. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, the thing about prayer is, it's one of those aspects in life, especially with our relationship with God, that prayer is only as effective as we use it, right? Like prayer is a gift to us, but if we don't access this, we don't activate it. One of my favorite stories about this is a particular man who went out and he wanted to take some trees down out in his yard. Don't try to do that in a low country. That is a painstaking process to take any tree down. They love their trees. Long swoop. They're beautiful though, right? But this man, he wanted to take some trees down and he went to borrow a chainsaw. And when he went to borrow this chainsaw, he borrowed it from his neighbor and then took it out into the woods and went to work. And he was working and he was toiling and he was working and he was sweating and he was hurting and all of that stuff. And he brought it back and he said, you know what? This shouldn't be this hard. I'm working way too hard. And he brought it back to his neighbor and said, your chainsaw's broken. It doesn't even work. And his neighbor grabs it and he looks and he's like, it just worked for me. And he grabs it and he flips a switch and he cranks it. And he goes, you know how chainsaws are loud. The guy jumps back like, whoa, what is that? What is that sound? Like, what is happening here? And he's like, what do you mean, what is this sound? This is a chainsaw. You do not turn it on? And he's like, I didn't even realize you turned it on, right? And he'd been out in the woods trying to chop trees down with a turned off chainsaw, right? And that's what prayer is like, right? We're walking through life. We feel the weight of it. We feel the toil. We're out here working and working and working. We just feel the weight and we come back to God and go, this is not working. This is what's going on. And God begins to reveal to us like, hey, let me show you how to turn it on. Let me show you what I have given you as a gift, as this spiritual, almost like this rejuvenation, and it's called prayer. And Billy Graham, if you know Billy Graham, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he preached to millions and hundreds of thousands of people came to know Christ through his ministry. And he said this at the end of his life. He said, prayer is the most important thing we can ever do. And if I could do my ministry over again, I would pray more than I preached. And that's a big statement from a man who, his life was giving to preaching. And he said, it's the most important thing we can do. I would take a step back and pray more if I could. And we see this picture, and that's very eye-opening for you and I. And most of the people that I meet or I talk to as a pastor, we usually walk around with almost like a low-level guilt of, I should pray more. I should make more time to get, I should make more time for this. And we kind of walk around with that weight of what this looks like. And so today I'm hoping that as we look at Daniel and his prayer habits, his prayer life, maybe it will awaken some things in us to go, you know what? I can do that too. God's given me this opportunity. I want to step into it too. And so for us to understand this in Daniel chapter 9, when it shifts into the prophecy section of Daniel chapter 7 and 8, and then through the end of the chapters, we kind of go back in time where we see that it moves in chronological order, and then when it hits Daniel chapter 7, the visions and stuff, they go back to where Daniel was in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, and so most scholars believe in Daniel chapter 9, we're about in the time frame of Daniel chapter 6, and so when he's receiving some of this revelation. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, everybody okay? Very good. I like to ask questions. No, I like to hear you. I like to hear your voice. Okay. Verse 1, it says this. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Assyrius, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people in the land. I want to stop here for just a few quick seconds before we get to our principles. And something that is eye-opening here is Daniel is reading scripture. So Daniel and Jeremiah were around the same time. And so he picks up something that Jeremiah wrote down that he received from God, which we see as a part of our Old Testament today. And Daniel picks this up And he's reading scripture during his time. He's reading what the prophet Jeremiah said. And he realizes that, hey, he prophesied that the Jewish people would be captive in the Babylonian nation for 70 years. And if you remember from Daniel chapter 7, Daniel is about 70 years old. So when Daniel reads this in God's word, he believes it by faith. And he goes, wait a second. It's been about 70 years that we have been in captivity. So I want to go to the Lord. In fact, I'm going to go to the Lord because I realize we have not been living the way that we should. And if you look at Daniel, I mean, the Bible describes Daniel as a righteous man, one of the most righteous that have ever lived. And Daniel comes before God with this sincere humility, right? And what I notice here, even as a leader, is he is standing before God on behalf of his people. And some of the sins that he is confessing are not even the sins that he committed, right? But he's saying, as a leader, I'm taking it upon myself to come before you, God, on behalf of your people and go, we have sinned. We have fallen short. And I believe that's what a leader does, right? That's what a parent does, right? That's what we do for our nation or our society. We see people who are hurting and we step in and go, I know it's not really my fault that this happened, but I want to step in and I want to help, right? If my kid messes up at school, right? It's not my fault. I didn't go to school and mess up, right? But I, as their parent, as their leader, I show up. It's my responsibility, right? I feel that weight to step in and go, you know what? I want to help in this. And we have an opportunity in our generation to step in and go, you know what? It's not all my fault, but I can at least step in and help lead the way, the path that God has laid out for us. He's giving us a new way. He's given us a path forward, and we can step into that. And Daniel steps in and he goes, you know what? I'm praying on behalf of my people. And if you know anything about Daniel, I wouldn't describe him the way that he describes himself. We've been rebellious, he says. We've gone against you. We've scorned your commands, your regulations. We refuse to listen to your servants. But Daniel is lumping himself in with all of that, right? He comes to God with this humility of, I've fallen short. I'm coming before you, God, and I'm not the most righteous man, and all of these things, God, we need you. We need you to work on our behalf. And so I just love that about Daniel. I love his mentality. I love his heart through this. And that, I believe that's something that we can all pick up from. And then he continues here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7. It says, Lord, you are in the right, but as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all of Israel, scattered near and far. Wherever you have driven us, because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors are covered with the shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instructions and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured down on us because of our sin. We have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you had warned. Never has there been such a disaster that has happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Daniel is not holding back here, right? He's laying in, going, God, this is where we're at. He's not trying to beat around the bush. He's painting a picture of saying, man, we have missed the mark. We are not where we need to be, God. And we recognize that, or at least Daniel does, right? And he's come up before God. And then he continues here in verse 17. O our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, we're going to come back to that. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how your city, look at this terminology using. See how your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruin. We make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act for your own sake. Do not delay. O my God, for your people and your city bear your name. And then in verse 20, we see Gabriel comes down and he is sent as a messenger while Daniel is praying. I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in an earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it is. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. Can we just stop for a second and look at how Daniel is talking before God? I am so sinful. I have fallen short. And then the angel Gabriel comes and he says, oh, what does he say? He says, you are very precious to God, right? Daniel's coming forward. I've fallen short. I recognize my sin. And God comes back in and speaks life into Daniel, says, you are very precious. In fact, the Bible describes in the New Testament that those who humble themselves will be exalted, right? But those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And we see this in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, he exalts himself. He wants people to worship him. And God humbles him, right? God sends him out into the field like a crazy man. But then Daniel, who humbles himself, who comes before God and says, look how I have fallen short. God, look at my sin. And I think that's important for us as followers of Christ to recognize, like Romans 3:23, that we have all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And that we carry this sin, maybe past or maybe we've sinned recently. We have this carrying, and Daniel is very vulnerable and open. He's saying, I'm confessing my sin and the sin of my people, right? And so Daniel is very vulnerable, and he's telling us that he has sinned, right? And he's right here in the Bible, a character in the Bible, and he's going, I have sinned, and I'm bringing it before God. He's not trying to hide it. He's not trying to sweep it under the rug, right? Because he knows God already knows. But when we come to God and we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us. And God sees the heart posture of Daniel, and he goes, hey, Daniel, don't you forget, you are my precious child, and I see your heart coming before me, and I want to restore in you what you are confessing to me. I want to restore that sin. I want to restore that mistake. I want to restore that past heartache. I want to restore that in you. I want to bring healing to your heart. And I was actually just reading something this weekend and talking about the past that Christ can heal us from. But a lot of times it's hard for Christ to heal those in us, not because his power is limited, but he wants us to get to a place where we need him. And we go, God, I recognize I still need healing from this, right? I need to bring this before you, God. And we're in the holiday season, and sometimes the holiday season is fantastic and it's awesome and we see family. But then on the other side of the coin, sometimes we see family, right? And it stirs up some things in us, maybe in our past or whatever it may be. And we realize like, ooh, hang on a second. Maybe I still need healing from that, God. Maybe I need that. And it's an opportunity for us to come before God, just like Daniel did. God, look, this is, I still need healing in this. I can feel the anger. I can feel the bitterness. I can feel the hatred, whatever it may be. God, I need you to heal me of this. And I want to give it to you, just like Daniel. I want to hand this to you, God. And I want to invite you in. And can you begin to heal this in me? Can you show this in all that we can see? And the thing about prayer is, as our heart begins to change and grow closer to God, the more our desire for prayer begins to happen. It's like an appetite. The more we pray, the more we grow. The more we grow, the more we want to pray. And it's this cycle that as we feed that in Christ, but it takes you and I. There's a couple of revelations I'd like to say, and then we're going to jump into those four principles that we see here in Scripture. But a change in belief brought a change in desire. It's you and I. When our belief begins to change, our desires begin to change, right? Like maybe you just started working out. We're getting ready to the new year. New goals are about to happen, right? And if you change your belief that, hey, I can't work out, I can't exercise, I can't do this. If you believe that, then it's going to be harder for us to act it out, right? Or maybe you're in school. I'm dumb. I can't learn. I can't grow, right? We believe that, and all of a sudden now that begins to change my actions. But if my belief changes, I can grow. You know what? I'm a runner. That's just who I am. I'm a runner, right? Then I'm going to get out and I'm going to exercise more. Everybody's like, no, not me. Sorry. I'm a health healthy person, so I eat healthy, right? We begin to change our belief, and then the habits or actions begin to change. And if we begin to change our belief in God, it begins to change our desire to pray to Him. If I believe that He is the King of Kings and He can literally do anything, then I'm bringing my request to Him, right? If I believe that this is true, when we pray to God, He says, hey, you are very precious to God. You are so precious that I'm going to send my son to die on the cross for you. If I believe that, if I believe that God loves me more than I can ever ask, think, or imagine, then that changes my desire, right? I want to go to Him. I want to tell Him about the crappy day I just had at work. I want to tell Him about my past. If I believe He can heal me from all my past, whether that's emotional, physical, whatever it may be, if I believe He can heal me of that, then I'm going to bring that to Him, right? My desire changes because I think God can do something about it. He can work in me. He can heal in me. But because my belief changed, now my desires begin to change, and I begin to bring that before God. And sometimes sometimes we think prayer is me drawing near to God, which it is. But I think a deeper revelation is that God has made Himself available and near to us. And that's a powerful revelation. Because now I don't have to work to get near to God. Now I just surrender and I believe that He is near to me and He has given me access to the throne room. And I can walk in, right? Just how somebody who's close to you, if they're really close to you, give them the kitchen test. If they just walk in and go into your kitchen and open up the refrigerator, I mean, they're close. They're like family, right? Because they're not even asking, like, oh, I'm thirsty. Let me just get something to drink, right? They're not even asking. They're close. They're really close. Your kids and your kids' friends, they just come running in the house, go into the kitchen, like just hanging out, right? Because you're close. And God is going, I have invited you in, right into the throne room to have this communion with me. And I have given you that access. And God has given that to us. Y'all get me too excited. We got to get to the four principles here, or we're going to be here all day. Is that cool? Just all, okay. Me and Miss Bunny, we'll be here all day. And so the four principles that we see here is Daniel begins to pray. And what I love is what I mentioned earlier. And the first one is to root your prayers in God's promises. We are to root our prayer in God's promises. Because Daniel, he begins to pray and he is praying scripture. He realizes as reading scripture in Jeremiah that he needs to pray and that there's something in there that is true that was prophesied about. And he begins to pray through that. But then in the earlier chapters, he's almost quoting directly Numbers 6 and Deuteronomy 30. He's quoting some of those Old Testament scriptures that was written before him that he is reading or has been passed down to him orally. And he begins to quote those things right back to God. And one person said this definition of prayer, Martin Luther says, prayer is simply catching God in His words. I love that. And I'm reminded my son the other day, one of my middle children, Maddox, we were doing something I forget, and I owed him like $11. And he kept catching me in my words. Like I told him, like, okay, yeah, you're right. I owe you $11. I forget what it was for. But anyway, for about 3 weeks, every single day I'd go back up to his room, we'd say goodnight, do prayers, whatever. Hey, Dad. Remember, you owe me $11, right? Like in the morning, he's eating his cereal. Hey, Dad, I'm going to school today. Remember, you owe me $11, right? Like all of this time, like he just kept telling me over and over again. And me, I had to keep my word, right? Like I told him that I would give it to him, but he just kept reminding me. And he was not ashamed about it. And he was like, okay, remember, you promised $11, Dad. I picked out some things on Amazon. Here you go, right? Like you can get me this. I'll take cash, whatever, right? And he just kept on because he was catching me in my words. And God has called us in prayer that when we come to Him and we're praying our promises to Him, maybe you read something in scripture. A beautiful thing to do is open up the book of Psalms and we're seeing promises. We're seeing who God is and we can pray those back to God. Maybe Psalm 23, one of the most infamous verses that we read all throughout scripture. We can pray that back to God. Maybe it's Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. And we work through the Lord's Prayer and maybe you read one sentence season is, God, give us our daily bread. And then we start, you can riff off of that. God, give us our daily bread. Here are some things that our family is in need of, God. This is what's going on in our life. Here's how you can help, God. Forgive us as so that we can forgive others, right? And God, here's who I need to forgive still. God, here's what I need forgiveness on. And we're taking his word and we're taking his promises, and it begins to guide us. And that's why it's important, just like Daniel, to be in the word, to be in his promises, so that we know. Because when I pray God's promises, I'm praying God's will, right? I'm using his words in my prayer, right? And I'm bringing, lifting those back up to God, and it becomes a powerful moment. Or one of the parts of the Lord's Prayer at the end, it says, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And maybe you begin to pray. Maybe your work is on there. Hey, God, may your will be done in my work as it is in heaven. God, may your will be done in my family as it is in heaven. God, may your will be done in the low country as it is in heaven, right? God, may your will be done in my military squadron, right? Whatever is a squadron. Anyway, all my military guys are like, "Daniel, just stop." But Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because we have an opportunity when we pray to invite God into our situation, invite God into our family, invite God into our work. And we get to carry, because the Holy Spirit lives in you and lives in me. We get to carry heaven into that place. God, use me so that people can get a tiny glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, right? They get this little, we used to use this illustration. What is wrong with me today? Illustration. We used to use this illustration where you're in a dark room. And every time we invite God into that, we make a mark in that dark window, and a little piece of light comes in. And we get a little piece of what heaven looks like. And every time you and I are able to live out the fruits of the Spirit, live out what God is calling us to, let's show people his promises. We're making a mark in that window, right? A little piece of heaven that comes through, and God is using you to do that. How incredible is that, right? I mean, he's using Daniel right here in this moment to show you and I how to pray, and we get a peek of what happens behind that. Number two, here we go. Number two, make it a daily habit of prayer. Make it a daily habit. This is something that Daniel, I don't have to convince you of. Once you read the book of Daniel, you're like, wow, he prays. He prays day in and day out. And in fact, when Jason preached on Daniel chapter 6, he brought up the gratitude, right, in his prayer. But also, Daniel prayed three times a day. When persecution was brought to Daniel, what did he do? He went back to what he knew. He went back to prayer. They were out scheming about him, and he went to prayer, which was his daily habit, to pray in the morning and at lunchtime and then in the evening. He prayed three times a day without fail. It was a habit for him to do. And for you and I is to create that habit. And what I love the word habit, because a habit is like second nature. It's like we don't even have to think about it, right? Like, this happens, I'm going to pray about it. I feel this anxiety, I'm going to pray about it, right? And whatever that may look like, I would encourage you to create a habit. And the best way to create a habit is to plan for it. Set yourself up for success, right? If by the way, whoever's praying for all the college football underdogs, will you pray for me too? Like, because this is a wild, crazy season. Like, but what I was going to say is sitting with the TV on and the family and the kids are running around and all of that is happening in our lives, we're not setting ourselves up to walk into that, right? But maybe I'm going to get up 10 minutes earlier than everybody else. I'm going to have a moment alone with God. And I'm going to, one, pray to him, but I'm also going to leave room for him to speak to me, either through his word, or I'm listening to what the Holy Spirit's impressing on my heart for the day. Or maybe you want to make it a habit of, hey, this is what's on my schedule today. I have this meeting, this meeting, this meeting. I got to do this grocery shopping, got to pick the kids up, and begin to pray through your schedule. God, would you go before me in this meeting? Will you grant me favor? Would you help me be a light to you, God? I know this meeting. I know this person. Oh, God, can you give me some extra patience? Can you help me out? Like, all of this, can you go before? Whatever it may, I'm praying through my schedule. God, when I pick my kids up today, can you help me to leave work on a coat hanger and be ready to greet them when they walk through the door? Whatever it may be, right? I begin to pray, make it a habit of putting these tools in my toolbox. Or maybe at the end of the night, coming together with our spouse and going, let's just pray for today and pray for the next day. Whatever that may look like. And I would encourage you to, whatever system you pick, make a commitment and say, you know what? I'm going to do this for 20 21 days. I'm going to do this for 21 days. You say, why 21 days? Maybe it's one of those marks that we have found that if you hit that for 21 days in a row, it's harder to stop than it is to keep going. And so just pick a number. Say, you know, I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to press into this. I'm going to lean into this. In January, as a church, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so we're gearing up for that now, but making it a daily habit so that we as a church, we just turn back to God. We know what He's calling us to do. We see this all throughout the book of Daniel. This is what He does. This is who He is. The third one here, and this one is in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. We see this mentality of Daniel. He says, as I was praying, Gabriel, who I had seen in an earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And now I want to label this one, don't give up in year 69. Daniel's been praying it. He's been making it a habit for all of his life, right? He's been going back and turning to God. And here he is right at the 70-year mark. And he could have just said, you know what? God has not been answering my prayer. I have not heard from God. I don't know what's going on, right? And he could have stopped right there in year 69. But here in year 70, all of a sudden, Gabriel comes and he gives a word to Daniel. And can you imagine, like, I love when God kind of whispers a word in my heart, but can you imagine an angel coming and delivering the message of what you've been praying for? Like, that's pretty incredible. And I love this, what it says here. It says that he was commanded as soon as it says, and now it says, the moment you began praying, a command was given. And I think sometimes when we're praying and we don't see God begin to move and work in the moment and in the instance, it's easy to forget about everything that is happening supernaturally around us, right? As soon as he started praying, a command from heaven came down and said, hey, Gabriel, Daniel's praying this. He needs an answer. You go tell him. Can you? Like, I have more questions than I do answers about that, but that's pretty incredible to think about, that angels are being commissioned by Daniel's prayer, right? Like, angels begin to move when you and I call on the name of the Lord. It says that there are millions and thousands of angels who have worshiped God. We get these images, right? And God in heaven begins to stir when we call on God's holy name. We see this in Daniel chapter 10. Let's get a little peek here. And then we're going to close. Daniel chapter 10, it says this in verses 11 through 14. This is pretty incredible. You guys ready? All right, awesome. Verse 11, it says, and the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. There it is again. You are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your requests have been heard in heaven. I have come to answer your prayer. Get this, verse 13. But for 21 days, the Spirit Prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit of Prince of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. Daniel begins to pray. Angels are commissioned to come deliver this message to Daniel, but the message does not come for 21 days because angels are up in heaven fighting. They're up in the spiritual realm fighting. This is pretty crazy, right, to think about. Like, they're fighting. He's like, oh, sorry, I would have come, but I was just fighting another demon, and we were really at it. And then the archangel Michael came, who apparently can handle himself pretty well. He comes, he takes over, and I leave to come give you this. Daniel could have sat at day 15, right? He could have been like, God, you're not answering my prayer. What is happening? You're not even moving, God. You're not even hearing me. But what is happening in the spiritual realm, we don't know. We have to just say, God, you know what? This is my prayer. And I believe that you are working because your word says you're working. Your promises say you're working. And how incredible is it to know for Daniel that he is praying? But the same thing happens as we are children of God, that angels are working around us, right? When we begin to pray, this thing is so much bigger than you and I that God has invited us into, right? That we see this beautiful picture of what prayer does for us. But in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 12, it says this, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Right? It's this command of rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. That even though tribulation comes, we may not have the full answers, but to be patient. And we may think, well, why does God delay sometimes our prayers? And I would come to you and I would say, you know what? I don't know, right? Because I'm not God. I don't know all the answers. But maybe Martin Luther said it once, it's kind of like a father who, when their son comes up to grab something out of their hand, and they kind of squeeze tight on it to really make them struggle, like, oh, give it to me, right? Because they just want to see them, like, have that moment of tension, right? Like, how bad do you really want it, right? That maybe there's an opportunity for God to go, you know what, God, I have this in my heart. This is a deep desire. I'm going to be constant in prayer. I believe you're going to move, right? And we don't know if it's God trying to do something in us, or maybe something's happening in the spiritual realm that we don't know about, right? Or God's working in and through someone else, and he is waiting on his timing, which is God is on time all the time. Amen, right? And we see this begin to play out, but it's this moment of trusting God. And then the last one here is number four. We're going to invite the worship team. They're going to come up and lead us in a response song, and I just want to close with this last one because it's pretty big and it's an eye-opening, game-changer moment of prayer for you and I. And the fourth one is hope in God's mercy, not your glory. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 18, he says this, "Oh my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see your despair. See how your," look at this terminology, "your city, the city that bears your name, God, lies in ruins. Make this plea, not because," this is it right here, "not because we deserve help, but because your mercy." Daniel realizes that when he comes before and he begins to pray to God, that his prayer is not going to be answered because of his righteous acts, right? His prayer is going to be answered because God is faithful, right? It's because of God is the one who brings the mercy, brings the grace, and we don't have to be perfect to come before God. If anything, in Daniel chapter 9, that should open our eyes, right? Daniel comes, and most of the time, he's just confessing. Here's everything I'm doing wrong. Here's everything your people are doing wrong. God, have mercy on us. And God lifts Daniel's weary head, and he says, "My precious child, you've humbled yourself before me, and now I'm going to act," right? Daniel calls on God, and he's like, "God, your name is on the line for your act, for your name's sake," right? And I love that because you and I, when we were called to plant this church, right, the Bridge Church, and we love the Bridge Church, we love our name, but the most important name is Jesus, right? And we've always said we're going to pray and act like Jesus is the head of the church because he is, right? Like he is the leader. He's the one in charge, right? And everywhere we go, God, your name, my name's not on the line. Jesus' name is on the line and he is faithful and he is true. My expectations, all of that are at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, you want to do this? This is your church. This is your people, God. Lead us, guide us, right? In the low country, in your job, in your family. Right? We come to God and go, "God, my name's not on the line. I'm giving my family to you. I'm giving my marriage to you. I'm giving my kids to you, God. I'm giving my work to you, God, for your name's sake. Your name's on the line, God, here. I'm just following you. Where you want me to go, what you want me to do, God, that's my prayer," right? We see this in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus is praying and he says, "Not your will be done, God. I mean, not my will, but your will be done." Because he's feeling the weight of that. He's feeling the hunger of that. And for you and I in our prayer, that's what we do. And when we close with our prayer and we say, "In Jesus' name," that's what we're saying. "God, this is in your name, for your name's sake," as we close in that with prayer. And so I just want to ask us as a church, maybe God is speaking to your heart. And as we get ready to pray here today, my encouragement to you is maybe pick one of these principles and go, "You know what? I need to lean into that one. I need to lean into, I need to find more promises. I need to dig into God's word like a treasure," right? Like I'm finding all this treasure and I'm going to begin to pray all these promises back to God. Maybe it's, "I need to make it more of a habit. I need to set up things in my life. I need to put something in my car that's right there by the speedometer, right? Before I go 10 over," because you know everybody goes 10 over. Anyway, right before I do that, I'm going to read this and I'm going to pray all the way to work. I'm going to leave the music off or whatever it may be. I'm going to make it a daily habit. Or maybe for you, you're like, "You know what? I pray for things for like a day and then I kind of get weary and I don't pray for them anymore." Or maybe you have something in your life that you prayed for years for and you dropped it. And today the Holy Spirit may be whispering, hey, pick that back up. Start praying for that again. Start praying for that person again. Start praying for God to do this in your life again, whatever it may be. Or maybe the last one is maybe for you and I to go, you know what? I've been bringing a lot of my dreams, a lot of my expectations, a lot of my hopes to God, right? Like I've been bringing all of my stuff to God. But I want to start inviting, saying, God, what do you want from my life? God, what do I need to do next year in 2023? God, one of my favorite things to do is say, God, you know what? Here's a whole blank sheet and my yes is already at the bottom. God, whatever it is, I got a blank sheet right here. You start filling it out. You start showing me my yes is on the table, God. I want for your glory, God. What does that look like? And we begin to hear, and as God shapes that in us, right? God, as it is in heaven, right? God, do this here as it is in heaven. And we begin to pray that as a church. And so I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts, because I believe, just as the quote from Billy Graham says, that prayer is one of the most powerful things that you and I can do. We're calling on the name of the God, calling on the name of our God in Jesus' name. And so we want to do that now together as a church. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word and how we can dig into stories like the book of Daniel and pick out these principles on prayer, God. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, God. God, we pray that you would move in the low country in our lives, God. Or maybe if somebody's listening online, that you would move inside of their lives and their location where they're at, God. May your glory, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that you will illuminate some things in us, God. I pray that we will be a praying church. I pray that we will be a praying people, God, that as we head into this Christmas season, this Advent season, I pray that it reminds us that you are near to us, God, and that you have made that abundantly available to us. God, I pray that we would surrender our lives to you, God. Not my glory, but your glory, God. I pray that you'll speak and give us wisdom and direction. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.